Tonight, you're going to make a memory that will last a lifetime. That memory could be of you standing in a roaring crowd, helping your team defend home ice. Or that memory could be of you watching the game at home, while your spouse clips her toenails, and your son practices the saxophone, and your daughter makes a smoothie. Get your tickets on StubHub. Your ticket out.
This is Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Blue Jays lose it 4-0 to the Orioles.
You have to stay positive in this game. You know, some nights you just get beat. Sometimes they outplay you. Sometimes they outpitch you. That's reality.
It's not over. Why are you playing this? Who told you? Did you...
Like, why do you go off script and try to do things yourself?
Well, it's Fabro. It's not him. Fabro told... It's not over. Jays lose yesterday 4-0.
Well, I'm saying don't dream it's over, even though it may just well be if you play like that.
And then the line, you know they won't win.
Well, that's Crowded House wrote that. I didn't, right? God's sake. Do you want our poll question updates?
Yeah, please. First of all right. Before you get to the poll question, It's not over. Jay's still a game and a half up the wild card. Detroit got rained out yesterday. We'll get to all those details coming up in a second, but it's not over. Still, tons of hope. They're still tied. You want positive? I'll give you positive.
I'm looking for any.
The Rogers Center was full.
Yeah.
39 solo last
no,
night.
You want positive? Here's positive.
They hired Steve Sanders, added him to the front
from
office.
From 90210.
Nice.
Ian Ziering.
Luke Perry's new director of scouting, too.
Yeah. Right. And Brandon Walsh is VP of ticketing now.
Nice.
No, so here's the deal. The Jays still game and a half up on
well,
on the
good
Tigers.
To be the president of ticketing. He's the VP of ticketing.
And the vice president of human resources now, Shannon Doherty.
Nice.
The human Picasso. Shannon Doherty.
She's had weird teeth.
Yeah. So her face is lopsided, and you don't have great teeth.
Yeah, so do you,
Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, but so what?
You could eat an apple through a white picket fence.
I don't have an overbite.
You could eat a plum through a tennis racket.
I'm not saying, hey, like my bottom teeth looks like they were.
When you smile, I want to say it's good for three.
Yeah. Are those your teeth?
It's good.
Or a row of condemned houses?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can do this all.
Man, looks like your tongue's in jail.
That's my line. Oh. And so, I don't have gaps in my teeth.
Okay.
I don't look like a jack-o'-lantern like Matt Sundin.
He did.
You know who also doesn't have great teeth? Is Russell
John
Martin.
Elway?
Okay.
No. Right. Anyway. Off the teeth, listen, positive, game and a half up of the wild card. Everything's fine. It wasn't a great result. Very listless effort. We can beat the horse to death, and we will in a second. But I do want to remind everybody, you're still in a wild card spot. Strangely enough, as terrible as this month has gone, as critical as that series was against the Orioles, that's over. Let's wash it. Let's move on. We'll get to that in just a second. But let's just relax. Anyway.
Poll question.
Yes, go ahead.
Before it turned into... The teeth,
Beardo?
Teeth show. Where will the Jays finish? I have a very serious question this morning. We have three options. The first wild card spot, the second wild card spot, or out. What do you think the Jays fans are saying this morning, gentlemen?
I think second wild card spot.
Dean?
First wild card spot.
Both wrong. 45% of voters so far thinks the Jays will finish out.
Shocker.
Going into
what's wrong with you people?
God.
Well, what do you mean they're
a game and a half up on a playoff spot?
But they're playing terrible, lost two terrible losses, and then gave us that last night. So, and you have to go into Boston where you're facing Porcello, Rodriguez, and Price. It's not ideal here, as much as you guys would like to be positive. They need to.
Is the rotation set for Boston?
It appears to be. Yes, it appears to be. Marco Estrada.
Do you really think David Price is going to pitch the final game of the season?
Yeah.
Prior to the playoffs?
I do.
Do you?
Well, that's what Boston's announced. I think so.
They won't. They'll switch it up.
Well, but he has to keep him sharp for next. They won't be playing till later in the week, right? They got to keep guys on their schedule. I'm not saying he might pitch into the eighth inning, but he'll start the game. So anyway, yes, Estrada, Porcello, the Cy Young winner, it looks like. Happ versus Rodriguez on Saturday, Sanchez versus Price. And, of course, that's not ideal because we think Sanchez needs to pitch on Sunday instead of a wild card game, which is not good news if you're the Blue Jays.
Well, I mean, is Happ scheduled to pitch one? Obviously, yes. Happ's scheduled
to pitch one. Estrada, Happ, Sanchez.
And then you got then you get a day off? And then you then what? Estrada, Happ, Sanchez, and then what? So if it's Happ.
Liriano.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's by any means necessary. Like, you have to throw Estrada, Happ, Sanchez. You have to put Stroman and Liriano in the pen. You have to do everything to get to that game.
Yep.
What's crazy is all the scenarios that could happen because the weather is supposed to be terrible all across the East. Detroit's just hanging there with a game and a half back. They might have to play Monday if it matters, if the Jays or Orioles or both falter. They're playing on Monday. So we might have tiebreaker games. It's a crazy bunch of scenarios that could happen.
Yeah, and I'm positive. I think they're going to – I think the Yankees are going to do us a favor. Go Yankees. I've never said that before in my life, but, man, am I rooting for the Yankees this weekend to beat the Baltimore Orioles. They get three there, and the Toronto Blue Jays are in Boston. You get three there, so it's still in front of us. It's all good. Everybody stop panicking. However, we'll get to it. George has an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by DriversFirst.ca. The Blue Jays played their final regular season home game last night in the rubber against the Orioles. Marcus Stroman was on the mound, which was good news for the Jays. Toronto was 6-2 in Stroman's last eight starts down at Rogers Center, with the Stro Show going 3-1 with a 3.02 ERA in those games. The game would be donuts until the top of the third, with the O's drawing first blood.
The 0-1 to Machado, hit in the air to center field, deep, but in front of the track, Pilar pulls up. This will be plenty to get the run home. Pilar makes the catch, fires it in. Scoring is Hardy. Kim holds at first, and the Orioles draw first blood. It's 1-0 Baltimore here in the third.
Yeah, that would pretty much be it. That's all the Blue Jays, the Orioles would need in this one.
0-1 pitch, hit on the ground to short. This ought to do it. J.J. Hardy has it. He throws to first, and the game is over. And the Blue Jays fall into a tie with the Baltimore Orioles for the two wild card spots in the American League, a game and a half in front of the Detroit Tigers. The Blue Jays lose it 4-0 to the Orioles.
Yeah, Blue Jays only mustered three hits and were completely shut down by Ubaldo Jimenez and the Orioles. Back to Marcus Stroman. He tossed seven innings plus two batters, gave up nine hits, four runs, all earned with two walks and nine strikeouts. Stroman has become the first pitcher 5'8 or shorter to throw 200 innings in a season since Fred Norman threw 221 and a third way back in 1977. Hey, speaking of that offense, here's a stat from the Orioles broadcast. Bautista, Encarnacion, and Martin combined to go 2-for-30 in the series with nine strikeouts. Bautista says the offense, they know what's up.
We just need to get back to hitting the baseball, get on base, and knocking them in. We had seven chances today with runners in scoring position. We didn't do that, and obviously that falls on guys like me to drive the runs in, and we got to do a better job.
It always sounds so easy. These guys always make it. We just have to do this. We just have to do that. The month of September, they just haven't done anything. Yesterday, case in point, Toronto Blue Jays were three hit, left five guys on, runners in scoring position, 0-for-7 yesterday. They booted a ball around in the outfield, including one Mr. Michael Saunders, who wasn't great yesterday as well. And case in point, we said this earlier, if you wanted a play that was indicative of the way the team played yesterday in that 4-0 loss, Troy Tulowitzki forgetting to beat it to first base.
Yeah.
On that ground ball to Jimenez later in the game, I think it was in the sixth inning, and they did the replay. You could say whether or not he was safe or he wasn't. It's a toss-up. But that's on Troy Tulowitzki. That's on every player to go baseball 101 that they teach you the very first day in Little League. As soon as you make contact, you go. You put your head down, you get to first base, and you don't care about what goes on in front of the field. And I know Josh Donaldson's injured, so he looked like he was laboring getting to first base a couple of times. It didn't matter because he didn't do anything on the field yesterday as well. He was 0-for-3. But Troy Tulowitzki, it's on him yesterday. That example of how they played is on him, not beating that squib to the mound, and Jimenez picked it up. And he ended up bobbling it. That's the other thing. If you didn't watch the game, Jimenez bobbles it. It was a surefire out. Should have been safe, could have been safe, had he actually made an effort to get to first base. And if you want to kind of boil it down into one play that says, how did they play? You show someone that, and you say, that's how they played yesterday. Absolutely terrible effort.
I don't want to be negative this morning because I'm almost being positive because this team's still in a playoff spot.
It could have been the last home game for both Edwin and Jose last night down at Rogers Center. Hey, back to Marcus.
Anybody
Stroman.
Ask him about that last night? Did, is there any?
Did you
audio
see that with... little the little GIF on Twitter about Edwin making a little hat tip kind of move in the dugout when he was walking down before the tunnel?
No.
Yeah.
Where was it? Do you have it? Is it just on Twitter?
It was on Twitter. I'm sure we can find it.
I'm surprised it hasn't. That hasn't been more of a story
because nobody expected this.
Right. No, there was no. You know, the fans weren't applauding them in their last at-bats. And really, they shouldn't. You should be thinking this team is coming back here. Yeah. At least that's what we've been thinking for most of the, you know, since they put it together mid-September. But now, reality is, I don't know, are the chances good that they're here early next week?
50-50?
It feels like that. And to be honest, I would bet, and I voted out the poll, I think they'll end up in the second wild card spot because I think Baltimore's playing better. They're getting timely hits. Their bullpen's nails. Jays isn't. And they're going into New York with a team who's played really good, New York, but they were officially eliminated last night. And I wonder if they just take the you know, foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
Do you know ESPN.com has, if you go to the MLB standings, they've got a percentage of that they'll get into the playoffs. It's on the far right-hand column. The Toronto Blue Jays 2 days ago were a 93%. 96.6% favorite to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
And the Baltimore Orioles, I think, were a 42% favorite. Baltimore now 82.5%. The Toronto Blue Jays, read into it what you like, 79.9. So, and that's based on a whole bunch of different factors. That includes Detroit getting washed out yesterday, so they've got an extra game. So there's, you know, we said this earlier, muddy the waters more with trying to figure out how this whole thing's going to shake out. But, you know, the strength of schedule, how Boston has played, how the Blue Jays have played, who Baltimore gets, they go into New York and say what you like about, you know, New York. They're not in the playoff. They got nothing to lose. So they'll be balls to the wall, if you will. So it's man, this is what you watch the game for, right? This is why you play the game. This is what you want watch the game for. It is down to the last series. And the narrative, which we talked about earlier, which was how important is this Boston Red Sox-Toronto Blue Jays three-game set at the end of the season going to be? We thought that it would be that important a challenge for the American right. League East. It's done. Forget it. This is more important for so many other reasons.
Back to Marcus Stroman real quick. He slipped to 9-10 on the season. So, Marcus, how you feeling?
Not good. I mean, we lost. So, wins are crucial at this point, and losses don't feel good.
Well, at least he was one of the few guys that did his job yesterday. He wasn't great, but he was good enough. The problem here, but, you know, we've seen some, you know, the bullpen blow up a little bit at the wrong time this week.
It was great. We went 7 innings, 9 hits.
Look,
four runs all earned.
He was okay. Okay.
Kept him in it early.
Sure. Yep. And problem, he's pitched quite well in August, September. He's got no run support. I believe 6 starts. I think he has 8 runs from the Blue Jays offense in that time, which is staggeringly terrible. And at the end of the day, even the bullpen blowing leads, like the Blue Jays offense is the biggest problem right now. And who would have thought? It really is. The Jays ranked 20th in the majors in runs scored since the All-Star break. Yeah. Timely hitting. It just doesn't seem to be there with the Blue Jays. How many times do we see guys left on every game, it seems? Runners left in scoring position, guys left on base. It happened again. Couldn't drive in runners in the first inning, third inning. And it's your best players not coming through. I mean, we talk about the pitching a lot. We shouldn't be worried about that. It's the bats have to get it done this weekend. And it has to be led by the MVP and Bautista and Encarnacion. So.
Well, they only scored 2 runs in the last 2 games. That's it.
Right.
Can't win like that.
2 runs in the last 2 games, and I think it goes even further back than that. You start get to the front of that series, so you scored how many runs in this series? I don't know the actual number as far as September goes, but you know you can say they're banged up. You can say whatever it is, but Favre brings up a great point. The guys who are supposed to be getting it done are MIA for whatever reason.
Blue Jays open a massive series tonight in Boston against the Red Sox. Gibby's a believer.
I don't worry about our guys, you know. I mean, we got our backs against the wall, but, you know, we're still in a good spot. But it won't be easy. It's not supposed to be easy up here, that's for sure.
Yeah, Marco Estrada against Rick Porcello in the opener of a 3-game set right here. Sportsnet 590, the fan Sportsnet. We're streaming on Sportsnet now. The Tigers and Indians game was rained out in Detroit while the Mariners beat the A's 3-2. So the Jays and Orioles tied for the top 2 wildcard spots. Detroit a game and a half games back.
while Seattle's two games back. Okay, let's get to the World Cup of Hockey, and Canada won the whole enchilada last night.
Pass picked off of the blue line. Jonathan Toews out there along with Bouwmeester. They're going for a skate. Laid off the bench is Marchand. Drop for Marchand. Scores!
Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand scored late in the third period as Canada beat Team Europe 2-1 to win the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. Canada has won 16 straight games in the best-on-best format, with its last loss coming in the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. Here's Mike Babcock saying, hey, the ACC might be a good place.
This is just a sign of what's going to happen here in Toronto. This is a special thing to do for Canada. Now we got to do it in Toronto.
There you go.
I'm surprised he let up yesterday. I'm surprised he didn't say, you know, this line didn't perform. That guy didn't do his job. This didn't go well. That wasn't our best effort, even though they won. Because they're down 1-0 until like the 17-minute mark of the third period.
Yeah.
But good for them. And you know what the other thing is? This group, by and large, has been playing together for a very long time. Some of these guys played minor hockey together. A lot of these guys played with the World Juniors together. Some of these guys played junior together. And this is the best. I think it's, you know, I've watched a lot of international hockey and I've watched a lot of Team Canada hockey. When Gretzky and Lemieux played. And I'll tell you what, this is probably the best and the deepest Canada has ever been individually, and the best team they've ever had, depth-wise, talent-wise, that I can remember anyway.
Sidney Crosby, the MVP, will talk more World Cup of Hockey with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet coming up at 8:17. The Maple Leafs lost a preseason game in St. Catharines last night to the Sabres 1-0 in a shootout. Auston Matthews didn't play. He'll play tonight. The Thursday nighter last night had A.J. Green roasting the Miami Dolphins, as the Bengals picked up a 22-7 win over Miami in Cincinnati. Dolphins fall to 1-3. Cincinnati fall improves to 2-2. They also announced this at halftime. You know who's going to be the halftime performer at the Super Bowl?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. I think she'll be good.
And finally, as Lady Gaga plays, this Ryder Cup update is brought to you by Stewart Golf and Moto Caddy. The Ryder Cup is all set. The opening four matches and foursomes alternate shot between Team America and the Europeans get going this morning at Hazeltine in Minnesota. That tees up in about an hour and 20 minutes or so.
I can't decide if I like Lady Gaga.
Why?
I just don't like saying it. Gaga.
You're not one of her monsters?
No. What is that?
It's like her fans are called monsters.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
is
that.
This one of those songs you put on the car we talk about where it comes it on and you're like, well, I'm not, I'd turn it, but for someone probably in the car likes it.
Oh, my finger slipped on the volume up button and I'm too lazy to turn it down.
Yeah. 7:18. Thanks, George. This hour is brought to you by StubHub. Buy and sell on the world's largest ticket marketplace, StubHub. Your ticket out. Right now it is 16 degrees. We'll see 18 today. It's going to rain later on tonight. It's going to be a weekend of rain and high teen temperatures. Please welcome to the program as we get set for week four. We had a game last night in the NFL. We'll get to that in a second. Week four from Sports Interactions Inside the Line. Sundays at 10 right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with my man George Russick, Steve Rapp. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. And if you took the under and the Bengals, smart choice yesterday, and we'll get into why, but I'll tell you something. That performance between the Red Rifle and A.J. Green was something else yesterday. Bengals win 22-7.
Oh, yeah. A.J. Green, he put up a day for fantasy points. If you got anybody's in fantasy, because I know somebody was complaining about it all night.
George is shaking his head. He's got A.J. Green in fantasy.
He's got A.J. Green. I'll tell you one thing I noticed last night. The quarterback whisperer, Adam Gase, is going to have to speak louder because Ryan Tannehill's just not hearing him.
He was awful last
Here's a question. I have a question for you because you've been through, this is his third head coach or fourth head coach in Miami, which is, I think it's his fourth.
Could be.
They bring in this Adam Gase guy specifically because they gave Ryan Tannehill a moon full of money. And they said, this guy can get through to him. He gets through to everybody. He come to town. At what point in time do the Miami Dolphins say, cut bait, let's get rid of Ryan Tannehill and start from scratch?
I got to believe that this might be the season. I mean, at the end of this season. I mean, you're seeing rookie quarterbacks like Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, all these guys coming out, not throwing interceptions, being able to manage the offense, move the team. And Tannehill is just not progressing like these other quarterbacks are. It's going to have to be time for Miami after this season, possibly, or sometime during the season to finally make a decision whether Tannehill's the quarterback for their future. Certainly doesn't look like it at this point.
We had Tiki Barber on the show, and he said it's all about progression. If Tannehill progresses and looks better by the end of the season, he'll still keep his job. But as of right now, he sucks bad. Steve, let's get to that game in England first, 9:30 in the morning, which I love. The Colts and Jags, talk about the weird stats when it comes to teams going to England and specifically Jacksonville against the spread.
Well, Jacksonville has been the team that's been going to England. I mean, I don't know what we're doing. We're trying to ruin any relations with England even worse by continuing to send them horrible games. Game starts at 9:30. We're looking at Indianapolis is a 2.5-point favorite now. It opened at 1, so the money has been going towards Indianapolis here. No big surprise. But Jacksonville is 5-2-1 their last 8 in the division, 11-5-1 their last 17 versus the NFC. They don't play well in England, but Indianapolis, you know, hasn't traveled to England yet, and there's a big difference in the time clock, body clock, and the travel. Hopefully, we're going to see it. For me, anyways, I like Jacksonville in this game. Hopefully, we'll see Jacksonville more attuned to this travel to the England than Indianapolis is. And I think Jacksonville might throw the kitchen sink game at them, being 0-3. They really need to win this one. People have thought of them earlier this season as one of the sexier teams, they haven't done it so far. So I kind of like Jacksonville to win this game.
Explain the Denver line to me, -3.5 at Tampa Bay. That seems like and that happened to us last week with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. We were laughing about it this morning, but you know, it almost seems too easy. Can you explain that line to us, Steve?
Well, this is obviously some sharp money on the other side of that game because we're seeing Denver as a 3-point favorite, 3-20. It hasn't flipped to the 3.5 yet. And with the public on Denver at 80-90% of the tickets, there's got to be something that's keeping this number down. That would be sharp money coming in on Tampa Bay in this one. It's tough to make a case for Tampa Bay, who's only covered 1 of their last 7. Against a Bronco team that's 5-0-1 their last 6. We'll see if the 3.5 pops up. I'm going to sit here and think that the public money will eventually push this number to 3.5. And I think that we're going to see that resistance from the sharp money. And at 3.5, we're going to see a lot more sharp money coming in. Winston's going to have to do more running as their running game was really affected last week without Doug Martin. Trevor Siemian looked good on the road last week. We'll see if he'll be able to do it back-to-back road games. I kind of do lean Tampa Bay in this one, but I'm going to stay away from him because, as you said, Dean, you may have said it perfectly. This line is a little fishy. Denver should be a lot bigger favorite. They're not, and that kind of tells you which way to go. If the lines makers think this is only 3-3.5 game, who's going to argue with them? I lean to Tampa Bay, but this is going to be a stay away game for me.
Steve, our show's on Sunday at 10 a.m., but why don't you wet or whistle a little bit, and what do you like so far on the card looking at these odds on Friday morning?
I'm actually looking at San Francisco a little bit. San Francisco, that number's come down. Dallas was a 3-point favorite. We're now looking at 2-2.5 in this one. Dallas, a horrible favorite, 5-11-1 against the spread their last 17. San Francisco has covered 4 of their last 5 at home. They're going to be happy to be at home because they're back on the road after back-to-back games. And I do look at better defenses taking points. San Francisco ranked 20th in defense. Dallas ranked 22nd. Not a big difference, but it is a better team taking points. So I'm definitely going to look there. Also, Seattle and the Jets. The Jets are pick 'em now. The Jets are 2.5-point dogs right now. Seattle's covered only 1 of the last 5, not covered the last 5 straight, following a straight-up win. You know, Jets have gone 4-1 their last 5 versus teams with a winning record. Seattle's flying east. We know Russell Wilson's not healthy. Listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have to have a better game than the 6 picks he threw last week. But, you know, their defense has actually held Kansas City in check considering how last week, considering how many, how long they were on the field. I'm looking at the Jets there to beat Seattle in a game that they really have to win, and Seattle has not really looked that good.
Steve Rapp, what does Sports Interactions have for you when you sign up this week?
Go to sportsinteraction.com/inside the lines. Got a special bonus for all listeners. If you go to that, go to that website. We also have they also have the free NFL contest and just hundreds and hundreds of in-game props and things. It's really great place to take a look. Go to sportsinteraction.com/inside the lines and see what it's all about.
We'll listen for you on Sunday at 10 o'clock with Georgie. Thanks, Steve.
Look forward to it, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Steve Rapp, co-host of Sports Interactions Inside the Lines, Sundays at 10 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, with my very good friend George Russick and Dave Bastel. Is Dave not here this week? Or is that
next week? No, he's here.
He's here this week?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Next month, he's
on. You guys do a really good job. If you want to get a leg up this week, make sure you listen for that. How do the Blue Jays get a leg up? Exactly how can this whole thing shake down now? They're tied with Baltimore after that abysmal loss last night. We'll find out with baseball editor at sportsnet.ca, Ben Nicholson-Smith, next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You have to stay positive in this game. You know, some nights you just get beat. Sometimes they outplay you. Sometimes they outpitch you. That's reality.
It's all over.
Come on.
But the cry.
Why are you doing this? Why are you bumming people out? This is you're in a wild card spot. You lost 4-0 yesterday, but you're right there. Ben Nicholson-Smith standing by, baseball editor at sportsnet.ca. He's going to shake out the scenarios with us. It's all good still,
I hope. How old is this?
This is like 60, 70 years old.
People like this song are all dead. And Lou Lamorello.
Yeah.
This sounds very Joffrey Louvel.
If Joffrey Louvel's listening right now, he's having a seizure.
Right.
I don't want to go back. Just anyway, Ben Nicholson-Smith standing by. Don't get too... Why are we doing this? Things are still... It's not over.
I know. Stop it, Mon, you negative Ned. Poll question?
Yep.
Speaking of negative.
At it's Dean Glendale. Where will the Jays finish? 41% of voters say out. 32% say second wild card spot. 27% say first wild card spot. And we have another poll question. Which song do you like more? 69% of voters, Cool in the Gang, Celebrate. 31% Mandy by Barry Manilow. We had a conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. That's why it's up there. We tried to have some fun this morning because it was a very sad day for Jays fans.
Yeah, sad day for Jays fans. World Cup of Hockey, we won, and they played this song. Yeah. Maybe my least favorite
song
of all time.
Right at the final horn.
Yeah. And so we asked which one was better, this one or Manilow's Mandy. It's Mandy. 69% of people have no taste in music whatsoever. Anyway.
I agree with you, Dean.
Michael Grange agrees with me.
Big Manilow fan, Michael Grange. Huge.
Ben Nicholson-Smith standing by to help everybody stop freaking out, and we'll talk about that. The Jays lose yesterday 4-0. Before we get to Ben, though, here's an update with George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by the Humberview Group. Blue Jays dropped that series finale with the Orioles 4-0 last night down at Rogers Center. Jays only mustered 3 hits. Marcus Stroman was okay in 7-plus innings of work. Blue Jays kick off a massive series tonight in Boston against the Red Sox. It's Marco Estrada on the mound against Rick Porcello, 7 o'clock. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, or streaming on Sportsnet now. Elsewhere, the Tigers and Indians game was rained out in Detroit while the Mariners beat the A's 3-2. So the Jays and Orioles are tied for the top 2 wildcard spot. Detroit a game and a half back of both, while Seattle's 2 games back. Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand scored late in the third period as Canada beat Team Europe 2-1 to capture the World Cup of Hockey. The Maple Leafs lost in a shootout and some preseason puck down in St. Catharines last night to the Sabres 1-0. The Thursday nighter in the Natty had the Bengals all over the Dolphins 22-7. And this Ryder Cup update is brought to you by Stewart Golf and Moto Caddy. It's all set. Gets underway today. Opening four matches are foursomes, alternate shot between America and Team Europe and Hazeltine in Minnesota.
Thank you, sir. 735, 16 degrees right now. A high today of 18 tomorrow, rain and 19. Same thing for Sunday, but 21 degrees. Please welcome to the show baseball editor at sportsnet.ca, and he comes at the right time, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Hi, Ben. How are you, sir?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. Last night wasn't good, but the series wasn't great, and now a precarious position. So help us kind of shake this thing out. By the way, where are you right now? You sound like you're either at the SPCA or at an airport.
Definitely not the SPCA. No, I'm at the airport. I'm actually headed to Boston, sitting here beside Arden Swelling. So should be a fun few days.
Good stuff. So what happened? First of all, what happened yesterday that you saw other than a listless effort? And is this just kind of one of those, you know, things that happens in to a team? Is it just late in the season? Are they running out of gas or guys hurt? What happened yesterday?
For some reason, they couldn't get much going against Ubaldo Jimenez. And that's really surprising, just considering how much Ubaldo struggled for most of the year. But they couldn't generate any offense against him. And so that meant that Marcus Stroman's start, which was good but not great, wasn't enough. And now they're tied with Baltimore. It's pretty crazy. It's definitely not what we would have expected a month ago this time when the Blue Jays came away from Baltimore with first place well in hand.
We'll get to the standings in a second. Let's just kind of stay on the individuals. What's wrong with Josh Donaldson?
Well, I think that, for starters, he's got the hip. His legs have been banged up all season long, and it's unclear exactly how much that's preventing him from doing the things that he would normally do, but it's pretty clear that it's impacting him to some extent. And for the Blue Jays, that's amounted to a little less production offensively than they would expect, that's for sure. And even defensively, we've seen some moments, including that throw yesterday to second base, where Donaldson hasn't looked as sharp as we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. And Jose Bautista didn't have a great day at the plate. Edwin didn't have a great day at the plate. Troy Tulowitzki bothered me yesterday too, and we were talking about it this morning. If you want to kind of tell a story within a story and see what was indicative of that game, Troy Tulowitzki with that grounder to Jimenez, I believe it was in the fifth or sixth inning, he drops the ball. Troy Tulowitzki kind of concedes after he hits it that he's out, doesn't beat that ball out to first. There's a replay, but it didn't matter. He was originally called safe and then called out. It's you know, and that was the thing. I think if I'm going to look at what was wrong with that team, what was wrong with that game, you know, case in point, that snapshot of Troy Tulowitzki not making an effort to get to first base bothered me more than anything.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I think that you can look at that in a couple different ways. I happen to agree with you. I think that Tulowitzki should have been running hard out of the box in that play. I think you have three games left after last night, and it's not the time to worry about making sure that you're able to be there for the grind of a six-month season. So I do agree with you. I think that he should have been busting it out of the box. I think there's another perspective where you could say Tulowitzki has been worn out in the course of the season. His legs need some rest as well, and you've got to pick your spots to some extent. So that would be the counter-argument. I think that's where the Blue Jays would side on it, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and really no excuse has been. Every team's banged up at this time of year with just three games to go in the season. But doesn't this loss, this series loss, hurt a little more? Because chances are the Blue Jays have to pitch Aaron Sanchez to get into the playoffs on Sunday, and then you can't have him for game one of the wild card. Is that maybe the underlying worst-case scenario for the Blue Jays and all this losing this series to the Orioles, that they might not have Sanchez in that do-or-die game on Tuesday?
I mean, I think the worst case scenario is you don't make it to Tuesday.
Obviously not making it to Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, the scenario where you use Sanchez would not be ideal, that's for sure. And especially because it looks for a long time like they were going to be able to hold on to him and use him as a sort of trump card in a potential wild card game. And that would have been great. The way he's pitched, he's lining up like a front of the rotation type arm. And that would have been huge for the Blue Jays. But I think as it stands now, you've just got to find a way to get there. And if it means that you're in a must-win game and you're using a bunch of different pitchers, they're using guys for a couple innings at a time, getting contributions up and down that pitching staff, then so be it.
Now, what do you think Boston's going to do? Because they've clinched, and I don't think they're going to catch Texas for home field and win the American League outright. What do you think they're going to do individually with their players?
Yeah, I think that on on the pitching side, we're probably going to see their top arms, and it looks like the way they've lined the rotation up with David Price, they're going to be throwing some good pitching at the Blue Jays. Now, position player-wise, I could see them starting David Ortiz every day just because it's his final series in the regular season. And then you look at guys like Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. I think those are the kinds of players who would probably start two of three. At least I think that makes sense if you're the Red Sox, just because you don't want them to get completely out of their rhythm. And remember, for the Red Sox, they won't play until much later in the week when the division series gets going. So you are going to have the chance to rest those guys Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They will get a little bit of time off. But I would think if you play their regulars two out of three games, that's probably the best of both worlds.
Now, what happens in this scenario? Let's play this one out. Jays and the Orioles are tied for those two wild card spots. Detroit got washed yesterday, so they're still a game and a half out. And that's kind of the wrinkle, is that they have four games to play now as a result, and they're expecting more rain, so who knows? But they've got four. Toronto's got three. Baltimore's got three. So seemingly, if they win, they could be a half game out. So explain to me some of the tiebreaker scenarios if these guys all end up in a tie, if the Blue Jays and the Detroit Tigers and the Baltimore Orioles all end up tied for those two wild card spots.
Oh, yeah, it could get really crazy. And you even have the Mariners, who are on the outside looking in at this thing. So what could happen is if you have a three-way tie, you would have three different designations: Team A, Team B, Team C. Essentially, what it amounts to is one team, the team that's kind of getting the short end of the stick, so to speak, would only get one shot to advance to the beyond that game. The other two teams would get a couple of chances. So if you're the Blue Jays, based on their record against other contending teams, they'd probably have a couple chances to advance, even if they are tied in a three-team situation. But they're going to do everything they can to avoid that scenario altogether, because it would mean a ton of travel, it would mean using all your pitchers, and really a crazy few days.
Ben, was last night the last game potentially we saw of Edwin and Jose down at Rogers Center?
Yeah, and it's crazy to think after all this time, and you know, a couple guys who have had really great careers with the Blue Jays, that they might not play again in Toronto. And it's become, you know, not likely. There's still a likelihood that they're going to play some sort of game back in Toronto, but it's definitely possible, and way more possible than we ever would have thought. If that's the way they go out, it definitely would be a little anticlimactic when you think of all the home runs that they've hit, all the huge moments that they've been a part of in Blue Jays history. But that's the way things are lining up right now. I still think that next week at some point we're watching another Blue Jays home game at Rogers Center, and maybe at that point the fans are able to give Bautista and Encarnacion a bit more of a reception focus on everything that they've done.
What's the very least the Toronto Blue Jays, and this is kind of a silly question, you don't have to answer it, but I'd like it if you did, these three games in Boston, what's the least they have to do to secure themselves home field?
To secure home field, wow. I think you got to take two of three in all likelihood. I think if you win one, you're still probably have a good chance to play beyond Sunday. It's just unclear at that point what that would mean. You might be in tiebreaker scenarios. You might be on the road. So I think if you take two of three, you end up being an 89-win team. The Orioles playing the Yankees this weekend, they would have to, of course, win three of three against New York to pass the Blue Jays in that case. I don't think that's happening. The Yankees are a pretty good team. So I think if you win two of three, you probably come out of Boston with home field.
Appreciate you doing this, Ben. Thanks. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Take care. Ben Ennis, sports baseball editor at sportsnet.ca. Two of three. There you have it. From the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it's going to rain like crazy in Boston this weekend, which is great.
And the wild card's supposed to be Tuesday at 8 p.m.
That might be moved.
You might not have a game. Yeah, it might be moved. You might even not have a day off. I mean, you got to leave it all on the field. I'm interested to see how they handle that rotation, too. It's going to be
win tonight, and things get a lot more clear.
That's how important that game was yesterday. That's what pisses me off the most. Wouldn't be asking any of these questions. We'd be reveling in a series win, and these morons, speaking of which, the Baltimore Orioles, these guys should be four games back.
Yeah.
That's where they should be. They should be in the rear view. 7:45. Fail of the day next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
Not decided who the fail is. The people that did this national anthem last night at the World Cup of Hockey final. Canada 1-2-1, by the way. Two third period goals in the last 3 minutes to win. Yay.
Nail biter.
We win. Everybody loses yet again. We're the best. Walk Off the Earth did the anthem yesterday. It's a group, I believe, from the Hamilton area.
Burlington.
I know who they are. Burlington, Hamilton, yeah. Really? Like Rule the World. Yeah, Rule the World, that one. Mm. So they were asked to do the anthem, and they changed the lyrics. Here it is. Now, they got that part right. The part they didn't get right was a start. Sorry, we didn't have that for you. They changed it from all thy son's commands to all of us command. Whoa.
As they should, Dean.
Whoa. That's the gender neutral version of the Canadian national anthem. If you remember, unfortunately, he passed away. An MP who recently passed, Morel Belanger, MP at the House of Commons, wanted it to be prior to passing away of Lou Gehrig's disease. Less gender specific and more gender neutral. Now, you can say what you like about the national anthem. This thing's been changed about 5-6 times already from 1908 to now. And as a matter of fact, 1908, these were the original lyrics. O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love, thou dost in us command. So that was originally what it was. Walk Off the Earth, taking a beating from Canadian jingoistic idiots because they changed a couple of lyrics. I happen to like it. I thought it was folksy. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was, and I didn't see it last night live. I just caught on to it later as people raged on Twitter about the anthem. Enough with the anthem already.
Is there God still in the anthem too?
God keep our land?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't even exist.
That has to come out. That's the next thing that's coming out. Yeah. The mention of God.
Yeah, because there's so many other, like, what about Allah and Muhammad and Satan if you're a Satanist?
Right.
I mean, let's cater to everybody if we're going to do it. Let's put every single perceived deity in this thing. What about Thor?
Yeah.
How about Thor if you believe Thor exists?
I told you how many times, Dean, I was born a snake handler, I'll die a snake handler.
Here's the part. Have a listen to this.
All of us command.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
What is wrong with people? And that actually might be the new lyrics to the song anyway. Yeah. And still not nearly as offensive as this version.
God keep
not that version.
Not that version.
This
here
version.
To perform
this
O
version.
Canada,
yes.
Accompanied by Tony Duncan on flute. Please welcome Victoria, British Columbia native, and Grammy Award winning artist, Nelly Furtado.
O Canada, our home.
At least Walk Off the Earth got Canada right. They nailed Canada.
Yeah. I always feel bad for Tony Duncan because he was killing it on the flute in that version.
He was, you're right.
We forget how great Tony
he
Duncan was.
He slaughtered the flute.
Yeah. Listen to this.
It's flawless.
He put that flute in a locker and slammed the door.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're one of those people that some guy just tweeted me too. Turn this hipster anthem garbage off.
Here we go.
Yeah. What's wrong with people? There you go. Everybody who got really, really angry over that anthem last night, they are your fail of the day, including one guy I can't mention. 7:55, hour number 3 begins next, and it's busy. Jason Lacanfora, unbelievably annoying Baltimore Orioles fan, friend of ours, We'll get into, and he's an NFL insider for CBS. We'll get into week four. We'll get into last night's game, the Thursday Nighter. Bengals won 22-7 over the listless Dolphins. We'll talk a little Orioles Jays as well. Elliot Friedman joins us to talk about the World Cup of Hockey. Joey Chestnut, champion eater. He's going to be eating some poutine this week, this weekend. He's coming up this hour, too. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.